Okay. Oh, Toldot is basically the only story about Yitzhak Avinu, which is remarkable if you think about it. And I would even say it's not the whole Parshat Toldot. It's actually only one part of it, and it's really remarkable because you think about all of Sefer Bereishit, Avraham gets a ton of screen time, you know, and then and Yaakov. The whole second half of the whole book is about Yaakov, but Yitzhak is sort of like a little part in the middle. And even the stories about Yitzhak aren't about Yitzhak, right? So the Akedah is so clearly about Avraham Avinu. Like Yitzhak barely does anything. He has a little line here or there, you know. He doesn't in his story of marriage. So Eliezer is the main character, and in the end, Yitzhak has like a little appearance. You know, he sees some camels. He takes Rivka to his tent. He really gets very little screen time, and even in Parshat Toldos, the beginning's about Yitzhak, really about Yaakov and Esav, right? You have this whole. I mean, in the beginning, Yitzhak davens for children, and then he gets answered. But then it's all about how Yaakov and Esav grew up, and they were already different, and the Nezirat Hashem. The end of it also like. Yitzhak plays an important role, but again, it's really Yaakov and Esav vying for the brachot. And then even afterward, what's remarkable is that Yitzhak actually lives the longest of the three avot. He's alive well into the end, almost the end of the Sefer, right? Yitzhak lives until through Vayeshev. Maybe he dies at the beginning of Miketz, and yet we don't even hear from him after this week's parsha, barely at all. We just hear that he dies. So I think it's just remarkable in and of itself. But what I want to do is I want to demonstrate or study this one story about Yitzhak, which is even the story about Yitzhak is very strange. It's like, why is this a story? Like, there's so many. I'm sure there are more wonderful things to tell us about Yitzhak Avinu than what we hear in this week's parsha. He's digging wells. That's the great thing he does. So I want to sort of study it. And what I'm going to argue is that Yitzhak's very clearly portrayed as the carrier of the legacy of Avraham Avinu. The Torah makes all these very clear connections between them, but there are also very clear differences and distinctions between them. And I think it's worth thinking about those, and I think it gives us sort of a bigger picture of what the Torah is trying to convey about Yitzhak Avinu. So what I wanted to do is really to compare and contrast the stories of Yitzhak and Avraham Avinu and their encounters with Avimelech, Melech Plishtim. And the stories are very similar. Like, they're really, it's essentially the same storyline, but there are still very important differences that stand out. I think that sort of tell us about the difference between Yitzhak and Avraham Avinu. So if you look in the source sheet, I have basically just the three prakim or three snippets from prakim in Bereishit. The first is Perek Chavav, which is our story this week, right? And I want to go through each one and compare and contrast as we go. So, there was a famine in the land, aside from the first famine that was in the days of Avraham. And Yitzchak goes to Avimelech, Melech Plishtim. Now already, the fact that it says Milvad HaRa'av HaRishon Asher Hayah B'mei Avraham tells you that we're comparing these two stories, right? Even just going back a bit, Yitzchak is born. Eila Tola Yitzchak. These are the happenings of Yitzchak. Avram Le Yitzchak, right? That Avram bore Yitzchak. We're already comparing them. We're noting that Yitzchak is important in the context of him being Avram's son. Fine. So then we have this vision where Hashem appears to Yitzchak. He tells him, "Don't go to Mitzrayim," which is interesting because Yitzchak went to Plishtim or Gerar. He didn't go to Mitzrayim. So why is Hashem even bothering to tell him that? And the obvious answer is, well, because Avram went to Mitzrayim when there was a Ra'av Ba'aretz. It's almost the exact same formulation, and yet Avram goes. Yitzchak doesn't go. He stays, right? It really is. If you look in the second, sorry, actually, so that already we see something different is happening, and he gives this. Hashem tells Yitzchak, "Don't be afraid. Live in this land. I'm going to give you the whole land, and I'm going to make your children great like the stars of the sky because of Avraham. Because of Avraham. Because Avraham is so wonderful. Because he listened to my mitzvot, he kept my mitzvot, he kept my Torah. Fine. So then what happens? So Yitzhak, so now look at Pasuk Vav. Vayesha Yitzhak Bagar. Yitzhak lives in Gerar. Vayesha Ali Wanshea Makom Leishti Vayomer Achotihi. The people of the place ask about his wife, and he says, she's my sister. Kiareli Morishi Penyar Guni Anshea Makom Ravka Kedavav Marahi. He was afraid to say she's his wife because he's afraid that the people of that place would kill him because she's so beautiful. Vehikyar Hulo Shamayamim. And afterward, they're there for a long time. So Avimelech, and this is a bit of a troubling scene. So they're there for a long time. Avimelech sort of strolling the streets of Gerar, and he looks in the window, and there Yitzhak and Rivka are playing. Whether that's a euphemism or not, it's actually a dispute. I'll comment. Some say playing doesn't really mean playing. It means much more than that. Some say no. It means they were sort of being flirting, flirtatious, talking in a way that a brother and sister wouldn't, and a husband and wife would. Fine. So Avimelech figures this out. And then he gives Yitzhak Musar. He's like, how could you do this? What's wrong with you? What were you thinking? He says, Beikra Avimelech Yitzhak Vayomer, Achine Ishacha Hivecha Martachosi. Avimelech says to Yitzhak, she's your wife. How could you have said she was your sister? Yitzhak responds, I thought I was going to die. What do you want from me? Avimelech is not satisfied. Avimelech, Ma zot asitlan? What have you done to us? The greatest, one of the people, either the greatest of the people or one of the people almost laid with your wife and you would have brought a great sin upon us. Yitzhak has no response. Okay, you know what? Sounds like, I don't know. Does he disagree? Does he think he was justified or not? I don't know. Contrast that with almost the exact same story with Avraham, but you have the two key differences. Take a look in Bereishit chapter 20. I have it for you. So again, Avraham also goes to Gerar. He also tells Sarah to say, you know, you're my sister. But number one, what happens? Yitzchak is found to be Rivka's husband, but Avimelech doesn't do anything with Rivka. Avraham's wife is taken by Avimelech, right? Then there's this vision. God comes to Avimelech in the middle of the night, says, like, don't do this. You're making a huge mistake. You know, it's going to cost you your life. Avimelech is all afraid. You know, he's sort of frightened. Oh my gosh, what happened? And he also has an exchange with Avraham Avinu. Take a look at Pasuk Tet. Vayikra Avimelech l'Avraham in Perichah. Avimelech calls Avraham, Yomer lo, Ma asita lanu, Ma chatati lach? What have you done to us? You know, how have I sinned to you? Ki veiti alai v'amachticha ta'agir olam ha'simra shelo yasu asitim edi. Big muster to Avraham, right? How could you have done this? Disgusting. You made us do a great sin. So what does Avraham do? Avraham doesn't back down. Avraham doesn't say, okay, you know what, you're right. Or he isn't. She's not just silent. He says, no. Vayomer Avraham ki amarti rak in yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. Because there's no fear of God here. This country you're running, Mr. King Avimelech. No one has any fear of God. They're a bunch of vandals, crazy people. Who knows what they might do? Baharaguni alvarishchi, and they would have killed me about my wife. You know what? I wasn't even lying because she is my sister. Really, it means she's my niece, and she's just not from both sides of the family. Whether or not that's a good excuse, you clearly see a very big difference. Avraham doesn't back down. He doesn't say, like, let's say they're silently. Even the way he responds, it's not, you know, I thought that I would get killed. No, the place that you run, your country is full of sinners. They're wild and barbaric. I had no choice. That's Avram's response. So already we see a difference, but it continues because the stories are very parallel, right? So what happens after this happens to Yitzchak? It's very interesting. So Avimelech tells everybody in Eretz Plishim, don't touch Yitzchak. Don't touch him. You know, anybody who touches him is going to die. Fine. Then Yitzchak finds success. V'yizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi v'yimsa b'ashtana ahi me'ash sharim v'yavarcheyu Hashem. V'yigdal Yisrael ha'chalok v'gadel ahi gadal ma'od. V'yilek no miknet sonu ba'kei ba'kar v'avodah rabah v'kanu oto plishim. Stopping there for a second. Yitzchak all of a sudden is blessed by God. He sees this tremendous success. He's very wealthy. Avram also gets very wealthy after this encounter with Avimelech, but it happens in a bit of a different way. How does Avraham get wealthy? Avimelech bestows great wealth upon him. Avimelech gives him a lot of wealth. Right? Take a look here just at Pasuk Yedale. Vayikach Avimelech tzon vakar vavadim mishvachot vayitin Avraham vayashel letzor ishto. Right, Avimelech gives tzon bakar, cattle, and servants. He gives them to Avraham. He says this nice thing to them. Beautiful. So that's interesting. The wealth is parallel, but how they get it's different. Then there is the next step, right? So what happens after they get wealthy? And these are all sort of connected, but I think there's a greater point here. So Yitzchak becomes wealthy. What's Avimelech say? You know what? Take your wealth and get out of my country. That's what he says to him. Says to Avimelech, take a look at Pasuk. sorry, I keep flipping back and forth here, but I think that's what's sort of necessary. Take a look at Pasuk Tet Zion, in that first snippet there, in Perek Chavav. V'yor Avimelech al Yitzchak, lech me'imanu. Get, go. Leave us. Ki atzamta mimenu mi'od. Because you're so much bigger than us. What's Avimelech say to Avraham? The exact opposite. My land is your land. It's yours, you know? Stay wherever you want, says Avimelech to Avraham. You know, wherever you want is good. So that's interesting. Again, you have this complete, very similar story, but really different elements to it, right? Again, Avimelech to Avraham in Pesach Avad, Ne'aratil v'necha, my land's in front of you, v'tov b'necha shev, stay wherever you want. Okay. So then that's that. Fine. Then, and we have to skip a bit in the story of Avraham, and we'll get back to the wells thing. So then there's this whole thing with wells and Avimelech, and I want to get back to that in just a few minutes. But afterward, Yitzchak leaves. Maybe not so far away, but he leaves. And then there is this treaty between Yitzchak and Avimelech. Right? And there's also a treaty between Avraham and Avimelech. But again, they happen in very different ways if you're careful about it. So if you look in Pasuk Chafei and Perek Chavav, the first snippet over here, or Chavav actually, Avimelech halach elav migrar. Avimelech left from Grar, bachuzat mirehu, ufichol sartzvao. So Avimelech comes with a group of people to meet Yitzchak. And Yitzchak says, what are you doing here? Don't you hate me? You kicked me out of here. You know, now he's all of a sudden backing himself up, defending himself. But what does he say? We saw God was with you. Let's make a treaty between us. Or let's swear between us, I'll make a covenant. If you do evil to us, like we didn't even touch you. We only did good with you. We send you in peace. But now you're blessed by God. You know, not exactly the most gracious offer for a treaty after you kick someone out of your country, right? It's like, you better treat us nicely. We didn't do anything to you. We've only done good to you. Now you're blessed. You better treat us nicely also. It's like Avimelech's like, you owe us this treaty. And then what happens? What does Yitzchak say? Okay, sounds good, you know? He makes them a feast. They swear to each other. And Yitzchak leaves and they go in peace. What about Avraham? What happens when Avraham wants to make a treaty. Avimelech makes a treaty with Avram. So this is already in the third portion of the Torah that I've given you in chapter 21. And it's a different picture. Take a look at the beginning there. The same exact thing. God is with you in whatever you do. Right? Swear to me by your God, you know, that you're not going to lie, and for Sana and for your grandchildren, that you should do the same chesed that I've done with you. Avram says, okay, I'll swear. First of all, that's interesting. He like verbalizes it. Fine, Avimelech, I'll do it. Then he says, but he says, wait a minute. Avimelech, you know, you want to make a treaty, he starts rebuking him for the wells that Avimelech's servants stole. Like, okay, you want to make a treaty with me, but what about the fact that your servants have mistreated me and stolen from me? That's not okay. Come on, Avimelech, you want to make a treaty, it's got to be equal footing here. What does Avimelech do? He equivocates, I don't know, I didn't know about it, whatever, okay, I'm sorry. You know, I just heard it today. And then they make a bris. Now, Avraham rebukes Yitzchak about the wells. Yitzchak has the exact same opportunity to do so. In fact, the Torah says very clearly that the Plishtim had plugged up all the wells again. But what does Yitzchak say about it to Avimelech? Nothing. He doesn't say anything about it. And then we get to the story about this back and forth between the Plishtim and Yitzchak and Avdei Yitzchak about the wells. So I think you get a certain picture here. I have a table here dictating the differences between Yitzchak and Avraham, right? Yitzchak has trouble having children. He prays hard and he's answered. Avraham marries Hagar. He marries a second wife. Yitzchak has a famine. He stays in Eretz Yisrael, goes to Hagar. Avraham leaves. When Yitzchak goes to Gerar, Avimelech sees him playing but stays away. Avraham has Sarah taken. Hashem has to stop Avimelech from raping Sarah. When Avimelech says to Yitzchak, why'd you lie to me? I'm sorry, I thought I was going to die. When Avimelech says to Avraham, your land is a bunch of sinners. You know, and I wasn't lying. Yitzchak acquires a lot of wealth. Avimelech gives Avram a lot of wealth. When Yitzchak is invited to stay in Eretz Plishtim, Avram's kicked... Sorry, the opposite. Yitzchak is kicked out of Eretz Plishtim. Avraham stays in Eretz Plishtim. And I think you can look at the rest of the table yourself. I think that what you see here is two things. Number one, Avraham is way more active, way more willing to put himself out there to argue, to fight for his rights. He's much more of a diplomat as opposed to Yitzchak, who really isn't, who doesn't fight for his rights, who sort of, when dealing with Avimelech and the Plishtim, doesn't really fight back, at least to their face. He doesn't confront them. He doesn't say, no, you're wrong. It's not my fault. But on the other hand, there's this other really interesting thing, and that is that God, Hashem, seems to be very intimately involved in Yitzchak's life to the point that everything always works out. And you see in the story, the other big difference is that Hashem appears to Yitzchak numerous times to continue encouraging him and telling him, I'm with you, don't be afraid, it's going to be great, you're going to have wonderful children. Whereas Avraham actually has a much more sort of tumultuous experience. Avram's wife is taken. Avraham leaves Eretz Canaan. You know, Avram gets wealth from Avimelech. Yitzchak just is successful. And that's really interesting. So I would argue is something I think, there are two ways you could look at this. And I think one is a more psychological and one's more spiritual. Or Desser, if you look in source... Look at source number one. The Sfarim points out something else, which is that Yitzchak at the beginning of his life is not blessed due to his own activity. He doesn't merit his own blessing. Hashem says, I'm going to bless you because of your father Avraham. Whereas Avraham and Yaakov, Sfarno points out, always merit their own blessing. It's only later in Yitzchak's life that he's korei b'shem Hashem, that he goes and he calls out in the name of God. You know, after numerous promises from Hashem that he's going to be successful. And that's when, in Sfarno's view, he merits his own blessing. Or Avi Melech says, Atah atah baruch Hashem, you are now blessed by God. So why is that? Why is Yitzchak so much more hesitant? Why is he so much more reserved? Why doesn't he do as much as Avraham? Why doesn't he as strong? So the Rav Dessler, the Michta Melio, argues that this is a part of Yitzchak's character. That Yitzchak is the ultimate Yirei Hashem. He's the ultimate example, paradigm of someone who has fear and awe of God. And in that vein, he's reluctant to do anything. It's a complete self-negation. I'm nobody. You know, all I care about is God's will in this world, but my own will is almost irrelevant. And therefore, before he does anything, he's hesitant because maybe he'll do something inappropriate. Maybe it will be flo lishma, it will be for the wrong reasons, maybe it will be wrong. And so he's always very hesitant to do anything. That's his sort of character trait. This sort of reluctance, sort of being reserved, retreating into oneself, this whole self-nullification. It's only when Hashem gives him this confidence, where Yitzchak then says, okay, fine. So now I'm going to, even a Yarei Hashem has to sort of express themselves, has to be able to grapple with what's around them. That's one way of looking at it. But another way, I think, and it's something he also points out, is that it might be reflective of the Akedah experience, right? Where Yitzchak went through this, certainly traumatic experience of, you know, almost being killed by his own father. That has an effect on a person. It might very well be that from then, Yitzchak is not psychologically willing to really put himself out there like Avraham was. He's sort of reserved to himself. He doesn't have that same courage or, you know, charisma, that ability to be a diplomat that Avram has because of what he went through as a child. But it develops as the story goes on. And that, what I think, is the story of the wells. I won't go through all. So what I want to argue here about the wells, and I think it's really interesting, is that the wells are this really strange story because it's one of those stories, again, we saw last week, where you're looking at it and you're like, this seems like a very not... nothing is unique about it. We don't learn much. It's just wells. And the Mefarshim try to figure out what's going on, and they give all sorts of beautiful, you know, metaphors for what the wells represent. But I think they all really are built out of a very clear pshat, and that's what the Barbanel suggests in source number 3, that the wells represent Yitzchak fighting back. That finally Yitzchak is not letting Avimelech dictate the way that he's supposed to live his life. And that Yitzchak also is very strong in a certain way, but it's internal strength. It's not expressed externally in the way he interacts with others. It's expressed in what he does, in the way he lives his life, and the way he doesn't deviate. He points out, Yitzchak doesn't actually leave Eretz Plishtim. Yitzchak stays near Eretz Plishtim. In Nachal Gerar, it's just, you know, right nearby. And when the Plishtim try to stop him from digging these wells, he doesn't tell them stop, but he doesn't back down either. He keeps building and redigging the wells until he's finally successful. It's another form of fighting back. It's another form of givurah, of, you know, being yourself and sticking to what you believe in without the need to sort of fight back verbally or directly toward the other. It's, I believe what I believe. I'm going to stick to what I want. You're not going to stop me. And so in that vein, many, based on that general notion of this back and forth between Yitzchak and Plishtim, that's where all these metaphors come from. So just to point out some of them, in Rav Shamshon Falhurst, he sees this as sort of a paradigm of exiles, of how the Jewish people as a nation relate to the nations around them. Avraham is this larger-than-life Nasi Elokim. He's the model where the Jewish people are respected by the nations around them for who they are. We're successful and we're respected. People appreciate us for who we are. Then you get to Yitzchak. Yitzchak is also successful, but not in the same way. Yitzchak is the model of the Jew who is successful, but the non-Jews are jealous. They don't respect them. They're jealous of them. They're envious of the Jewish nation. Until finally we get to Yaakov, where Yaakov is not successful really at the beginning at all. He's a servant. He has to work for Laban. He gets kicked out of his house. He wanders for most of his life. And Hirsch argues that it has to go the other way for redemption. He argues, actually, interesting in his time, we start off as sort of these slaves who are sort of, you know, running from place to place throughout Jewish history, exile to exile. Then we get to Yitzchak, and that's where he says he's in his life at that time. Unfortunately, he's right before World War II. But he says, now we're successful, but the Gentile nations are very jealous of us. We have to get to the point of Avram Avinu. But he sees this as sort of this battle between Yitzchak and Plishtim as representative of the Jewish attitude toward Galut. Then you have this notion in Chassidus, you have it here in source 5 by Simcha Bunim Pshischa, where it represents a way of serving God. That the fight of Yitzchak is a fight to feel this vitality internally. And that the Plishtim were plugging up the wells, it's plugging up the feeling of being alive in the way you serve God, right? No inspiration, dirt. And Yitzchak works to reopen the wells, to forge this connection to God, to really feel connected. And that's the battle. And then you have the Ramban. And the Ramban says, Maaseh Avot Zeman Labanim, that the three wells are all representative of the three Batei Mikdashot, where the first one and the second one are these fights between the Jewish people and other nations. We end up losing until you get to the third Beit HaMikdash, and that's where we're finally successful. That's where Hirchiv Hashem Lanu Uparinu Ba'aretz. And then finally, more symbolism, you have Rabbeinu Bachai who argues, and I think this is maybe, you know, the most interesting in terms of combining the simple explanation with this metaphor, that the wells represent the Gerim, the converts, or the people that Avraham bought to monotheism. It's also in the Zohar, Chadash, whereby the Plishtim plugged up the wells by convincing all these people Avram had brought close to reject monotheism, to be pagan. And when Yitzchak goes and re-digs those wells, he's bringing them back to the way of Avram Avinu. Now, all of those are really interesting metaphors, but I think they're all built out of this notion in the Torah where Yitzchak is combating the Plishtim in his own unique way. And I think it doesn't come as naturally to him. It takes a lot of encouragement from God. He doesn't go to their face and confront them, but he also doesn't back down. He also continues to live life the way he seeks fit, the way he thinks is right. He keeps re-digging those wells. And I think that it's actually a very important sort of approach to keep in mind, because yes, there are times where we fight by, you know, sort of confronting people and we say, you're wrong and stop. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we can't do that, but we can sort of fight for what we believe in by just not backing down, by continuing to be who we are, by persisting, by continuing the traditions of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And that's the Mesorah of Yitzhak. That's the Gvurah of Yitzhak. It's this Yira where, you know, you don't have to go out and be the biggest diplomat and tell everyone you're wrong and follow my way and stop attacking me. But we just live by example, and we're tough, and we're persistent in the face of adversity. And that's what I think the Torah is trying to sort of portray in Yitzchak's life and in his digging of the wells. Okay, thank you very much, and have a great Shabbos.
You too. Bye.